Live from WNUR News, I'm Alex Harrison. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. Tonight on WNUR News, a look into the Northwestern Concert Band, taking on the new movie Tall Girl 2, and why winter quarter is such a drag. Those stories and more are coming up right now. Thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday evening. In Campus Local tonight, each quarter, Northwestern's extracurricular concert band puts on a concert for friends, family, and other attendees. Reporter Margo Milanowski spoke with senior Chris Mazurek about his experience with concert band.
Each quarter at Northwestern, the concert band, an extracurricular band made up of students outside the Beenan School of Music, puts on a show. Chris Mazurek, a Northwestern senior, just participated in his first show since before the pandemic.
I did concert band all through freshman year and fall quarter of my sophomore year. And then the pandemic hit after that and it was all online, so I chose not to do it. But this is my first quarter back, winter 2022. I did miss it. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to play my clarinet, which I really love. And the band was back in person, so I decided to audition, and I was lucky enough to participate.
Chris was skeptical about the band's ability to play in person, given the nature of most instruments, but found their COVID precautions more than sufficient.
I generally support any in-person class with the right precautions, of course. I know that's hard to do with band because you're blowing air through instruments, and it's really hard to control for that. But I think the testing protocols that they have around the concert, like you need to test negative and obviously don't come to class if you have COVID, a generally common sense helps, you know, keep everyone safe in that environment. Concert band rehearses two times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, for an hour and 20 minutes. It actually is a pretty good amount of time to rehearse, and generally we're always ready for the concert. And it's about 8 weeks of rehearsal before the concert.
These concerts are no small affair. The band spends weeks preparing a variety of pieces to perform for their friends, family, and any other concert attendees.
So every quarter, we usually prepare between 5 to 6 pieces for every concert. And they're usually like not the hardest, but also not the easiest pieces you've ever seen. So it's a good balance. Each piece varies between, you know, 2 minutes somewhere to multi-movement pieces can be 7 to 9 minutes long. I usually like the longer ones. I like playing, and usually the longer ones are multi-movement, so there's a lot of character to each piece because there's like different sections to them that show off different sides of the band. My favorite piece that we've done would, I guess for this concert, would have been a piece called Fiesta. It's like a very fun piece in 5-4, and it's like the music that you would encounter at a fiesta. It's really fast and light, but also really like accented, and I like it.
This concert band had the largest number of students since Chris has been a part of it, and in turn had a decent turnout at the concert.
The turnout for the past concert was actually pretty good. The auditorium in Pix Dyger was about, I'd say, a third full, which is pretty good considering it's mainly just friends and family of the band that come.
For WNUR News, I'm Margo Milanowski.
Moving on to arts and entertainment. Quote, it's giving, don't look up. After her viewing of Through My Window last week, reporter Allison Rauch decided to take on Tall Girl 2. Here she is with the full scoop on what the New York Times called a, quote, inessential sequel.
You think your life is hard? I'm a high school junior wearing size 13 Nikes. Men's size 13 Nikes. Beat that. It's been almost 2 years since we first heard these iconic lines and were introduced to the campy monstrosity that is Tall Girl. Which is not to say that I hated the original Tall Girl. I loved it. And in case you think I'm doing a bit, here's some archival audio of me and my friend Olivia watching Tall Girl for the first time in 2019.
You're crying. Oh, shit, you got to do it.
As you can tell, we're big fans of the ending and the milk crate. So naturally, when Netflix released Tall Girl 2 in February, I was excited to catch back up with Jody, Dunkelman, and the gang to see what they're up to. However, when I looked online, reviews were disheartening. Now, of course, I wasn't expecting the movie to be good, but the New York Times and the Daily Northwestern, two of my favorite news sources, didn't say it was bad. I could have handled bad. They said it was mid.
I know you said not to make a big deal out of this,
but we didn't listen.
I didn't want it to be true. I still had hopes for a messy sequel. I'd been putting off watching the movie until a special occasion came up. Enter a journalism research paper, a Spanish paper, a family emergency, regular sad, and week 9 of winter quarter. Now was as good a time as ever. So Monday night, I arrived back at my dorm at 12 a.m. and decided to rip the Band-Aid off.
Okay, it is 12:16 a.m. Tuesday morning. I just got back to my dorm, and I think this calls for some ramen, and it's a special occasion, so we're gonna throw an egg in there. So let's do it. All right, it is 12:50 a.m. I'm in my dorm's basement. Let's watch this godforsaken movie. Okay, kissing booth style, we are, according to my calculations, less than a minute into the movie, and they're already doing the like catch-up montage voiceover narration thing. And again, a lot about short King Grindset and the de-ossification of tall girls. So why are they doing a recap of the whole first movie? I can't imagine anyone on Netflix is not gonna know about Tall Girl number one. Griffin Gluck better make this redeemable for me. Okay, Jody also has more drip in this movie than the last one, but the music still sucks just as bad. Okay, after she signs up for the musical, I think they're like drinking Martinelli sparkling cider in this scene. That's really cool.
Jake from State Farm has a cameo in this movie.
Griffin Gluck is also drippier in this movie. He has the TikTok boy middle part now instead of his much worse side part in the first movie. Why did he set up an anniversary dinner like a restaurant type beat in their house? That's embarrassing. And why is the Swedish study abroad kid who lives at the house serving as the waiter? Why would he want to do that? She's talking about like she's traumatized to be in a movie theater because people throw popcorn at her head because she's blocking the screen. Like show me where it matters. There's like, okay, so there's just moments in this movie where it seems like they're kind of like very explicitly trying to teach a lesson, but like to who? Like what? It's giving like don't look up. Okay, I have an hour left and I'm just bored. Yeah, I'm just kind of bored. Okay, it's like 2 a.m. and I want to go to bed. Yo, my man Stieg just kissed the best friend, Farida. What's happening? The movie characters are in bed now, and I wish that was me. They're not watching a movie. She's really having the, like, it's okay to, like, kiss my ex kind of in front of my mans. Okay, I saw online that people were, like, annoyed about the sister being here. I love her. She's keeping it spicier than it would be without. The girlies are bonding. This movie's passed the Bechdel test. I mean, I guess it already did, but anyway. Take that, Social Network. The post-show Denny's dinner would have been iconic, and they really robbed us of that. Okay, yeah, par for the course. I'm, you know, in 10 Things I Hate About You, when Gabrielle Union is like, I know you can be underwhelmed and you can be overwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? I think I'm just whelmed right now.
Tall Girl 2 is available to stream on Netflix. Let us know if you're whelmed. Signing off at 5'7" for WNUR News, I'm Allison Rauch.
And out there in oddities, There's nearly universal agreement that winter quarter is the worst part of the year at Northwestern. Just ask Maude Apatow. But what makes it so horrible? Is it the weather? The work? Find out with reporter Izzy Pareja as she interviews Northwestern students for their take.
Winter quarter is widely known as one of the most difficult times to be a student at Northwestern. With short days, unpredictable and brutal weather, and limited breaks, finding motivation to get out of bed, to get to your 9 a.m., or finish a project with a fast-approaching deadline becomes near impossible. The weather is an especially hard adjustment for some students, such as previous Northwestern student and Euphoria actress Maude Apatow, who dropped out because the cold made her so miserable. I decided to ask current Northwestern students about their feelings about winter quarter, to see how intolerable it truly is. Here's what Weinberg freshman Anna Dellett had to say.
I think winter quarter was really hard coming back from winter break, where like the cold weather's appreciated, it's Christmas time, and then you just, I'm from Portland, Oregon, I had to come back to Chicago, and it was just so cold, I'd never experienced it like this before, and it was just a big shock for me, I think, even though Portland's not warm either, it's just, it never gets like below like 25 degrees at its coldest. And I think it wasn't like the cold, fun Christmas vibe. It was just miserable, snowy, walking 20 minutes to class.
McCormick freshman Ashley Broby had similar feelings.
It's a combination of the weather and the lack of sunlight, which makes it really hard to pay attention and feel a lot of serotonin. And then also that combined with the coursework and the course load being heavy just makes it really hard to focus and be motivated to do your work. My course load was very heavy this quarter, which was a mistake on my part, but I'm excited for spring quarter because I'm taking easier classes that I'm also more interested in.
Excellent.
Apatow doesn't appear to be alone in her sentiments about the cold, as Evanston's weather and the complications that come with it seem to be blamed the most for the unpleasant experience students have at this time.
I think the worst part of the winter weather is just how unpredictable it is sometimes. Like, a couple weeks ago it was like 50 degrees one day, and then the next day it was like a snowstorm. And then you just really don't have any consistency with that. And this might not be connected to the weather, but also because it was colder during the winter quarter and we all were coming back from winter break, like, so many people were getting COVID. Everyone was just gone, and like, you didn't have all of your friends always with you, or classes weren't always full, and so it just kind of felt very like irregular and like changing every week.
Yeah. I'm from Northeast Ohio, so it is pretty cold there, but it's not cold for as long as periods as it is here in Chicago, so it's definitely a lot worse here. Even the walk to Tech, which is only 5 minutes long, can become unbearable when you look out the window and see how cold and icy and snowy it is.
However, winter quarter isn't entirely irredeemable, as students seem to be finding their own silver linings.
My birthday is during winter quarter, I liked February for that. And I think my other favorite part of winter quarter, it seemed to go by very fast, because it was right after winter break, you kind of have a lot of energy, and you got to relax and rest in between. And so it did seem to go by a lot faster, which was nice.
My favorite part is that it's basketball season, so the basketball games are really fun, and it brings some school spirit out.
Nonetheless, it's clear students are over the winter and ready for spring quarter to arrive.
So excited for spring quarter. Like, even this last week, when it was a lot warmer, like, and sunnier, I just automatically felt a lot better about going to classes. I was more enthusiastic. Like, I was going out and seeing my friends more. So I'm hoping that, like, as long as the trajectory of the weather keeps up, like, it'll just be so much better. And then there's so many things to look forward to in the spring. Like, I'd be more willing to walk, like, along the lake or go to, like, the lake fill. Because, like, the wind is, like, blowing me over during winter quarter. But at least now you can just appreciate the campus and all of its beauty.
I'm very excited for spring quarter because my course load's going to be a little bit easier, and I'm excited to be able to go to the beach and go to the lake and be able to walk down downtown Evanston easily. So I'm excited for spring quarter. It's going to be the best quarter.
For WNUR News, this is Izzy Pareja.
Thank goodness spring is just around the corner. And as a bonus tonight, Not every Northwestern student arrives here at the same time. Transfer students face unique challenges and experiences during their time here, and often find community with each other along the way. Reporter and transfer student Nick Song spoke with others to find the full transfer experience. This story originally aired during our special broadcast on Friday, February 25th, 2022.
My name is Helen Bradshaw. I am majoring in journalism. I transferred to Medill this summer.
My name is DJ. I'm a junior studying journalism and pursuing the IMC certificate.
So I'm David Hu. I'm currently a junior here at Northwestern studying econ.
I'm Vanessa Kelson. I am a Medill junior. I transferred to Northwestern last fall. I guess, wait, now, oh my goodness. Was that 2020? When did we transfer? So sorry.
No, you're good. So what school did you transfer from?
I transferred from Emory University in Atlanta.
From Washington University in St. Louis.
From Boston University.
I went to the Oxford College of Emory before coming to Northwestern.
Why did you transfer?
I think there are a lot of reasons. I think one thing is Boston University's journalism school is very focused on print, daily newspapers, which is fantastic, but I had a lot of interest in broadcast journalism. Also, Northwestern is really the place to be if you want to be doing journalism.
I just thought that Emory was a pretty chill environment, but there were a few things on Northwestern to me was very generous for financial aid reasons. Emory to me was not.
I loved WashU, actually, but it's a really heavy medical school. And at that time, I started being more interested in becoming a better writer and dipping my toes into marketing. That was one thing that I knew I wasn't going to get. And I knew that Northwestern had great programs for both.
I really love Atlanta, but it is pretty similar to home. I love home, but I felt that in these years, I wanted to go somewhere further and be somewhere more different. I realized my freshman year that is what I wanted to do. And so I kind of sat there and I was like, ugh, okay. So I decided to apply to transfer.
So, you know, you've been here for like, I guess, a year and a half now. How have you found that experience?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely been polarizing, split between year one and year two. Year one was mostly remote. And then I was on campus for the winter and the spring. I would say right now, definitely no regrets, but last year, oof, was rough.
Everything was on Zoom, which was unfortunate because obviously anytime you are online or have the barrier of a Zoom screen, it becomes a lot harder to connect with people. So I think especially during our Wildcat welcome, which was entirely virtual, it was a little tricky to form those connections because people just weren't, I think, loving or embracing that fully virtual culture.
I had heard before I came that there was a lot of transfer specific programming. I didn't find that as much when I was actually here. And I think that is because of COVID. They weren't doing as many activities.
I think in a way, transferring during the pandemic made it easier for me. Everyone was just so willing to meet new people, make new friends. You know, it really pushed me to take initiative.
It was honestly kind of nice because I didn't have the pressure of like finding people to hang out with on campus because I wasn't there.
But I think as campus has started to come back to being in person, being able to have classes where you can talk to the person sitting right next to you and ask for their name and exchange contact info. It's made it a lot easier to feel like I'm a part of the Northwestern community.
How tight-knit do you think transfer students are at Northwestern?
Hot take, I would say that
I think it's a mix.
Although like I'm rooting with transfers, most of my friends outside of that are from their student orgs or from classes or from mutual friends, etc.
I know some friend groups that are like all transfers and that works really well for them. I know some friend groups, like my personal friend groups, where they're are very few to no transfers, and it's just me.
I would say overall, though, I don't feel like there's this collective, every single transfer is in this best friend group, and we all like hang out at the campfire site every Saturday. I think there are too many transfers for that to happen, which is a good thing. You are not a minority if you transfer in that sense.
If you want to be a part of it, there is definitely a big group of transfers that are always interacting and always reaching out to new transfers. I know for a fact that the TSO transfer student org group is very tight. And then I know the other half of the story is there are other individual transfers who kind of made more connections with the pre-existing, like, non-transfer population of NU, which isn't a bad thing at all.
But I will say, when you're, like, with other students and they mention they're a transfer and you're like, oh my god, I'm a transfer, there is kind of a connection there. Like, I was in an IMC class last quarter, and on the first day a girl sat next to me and I didn't even know she was a transfer, and then, like, a few weeks in we both realized we were transfers and we're like, oh my gosh, and now we're friends. And not because of that, but it definitely was like a point of excitement, I guess, to realize that we were both from that position. So it can be like a bonding factor for sure. I don't think it's, you have to have a transfer friend group per se though.
I had some people reach out to me during the first student org fair. I've just been joining different Zoom rooms to say hi to people. I remember one student org, as soon as I told them that I transferred, two people just out of the blue just jumped out, unmuted themselves, and I was like, hey, I'm a transfer too. And after the fair, they emailed me separately saying, oh, if you need any help adjusting to campus, just reach out to us anytime.
How easily do you think transfer students are incorporated into the larger Northwestern community? Like, how did you find that transition to be?
I know that I've talked to some other transfers who moved to a different university, and sometimes it sounds like they've almost been like brandished as like they weren't here their freshman or sophomore year, and so they're different. And I don't feel that way at all. I don't feel like I'm perceived any differently because of my background.
In general, I don't think people really care. I like the transfer experience and I like having the experience at two different schools. But yeah, there can be some opposition, I suppose, as to like not knowing some things, but I think more than anything, that's kind of perpetuated within the transfer community because we're all afraid that people are going to care about that, and it's really not a big thing.
You're not treated as like anything different. You're just treated as a normal student who, let's just say, in year one didn't do too much. So by that sense, you know, joining new friend groups or joining extracurriculars, I don't think transfers suffer, which I'm very grateful for.
I will also say it's by no means like you are labeled a transfer student. It's something that you can say like, oh, I'm a transfer student, and people would have no idea. It's like you are a Northwestern student along with everyone else who's been here the whole time, which I really love.
A final word. What do you think is the one piece of advice you would give to people who are incoming as transfers?
I didn't know how valuable and beneficial it would be to have previous experiences at other schools. People are interested in hearing about what it was like at another school, and I've really appreciated learning from my transfer friends about their previous experiences and communities.
Be more open than you probably are comfortable with, just because you really want to be immersed in your new community rather than being sheltered. And I think once you combine that openness for at least the first couple of quarters, you can really form a new self in a completely new environment, one that not many kids are even granted.
Already as a journalism student, it makes it very easy to just reach out to anyone on campus and say, hey, I want to talk to you. But even if you weren't coming from that journalism lens, people are so happy to speak with you. And the really cool thing about Northwestern is that there are people from the most insane, amazing backgrounds. The former ambassador to Georgia teaches at Northwestern, and that all of their doors are always open. Fully take advantage of those resources at such a fantastic university.
I'd say don't settle. You have made the change in your college life for whatever reason that you felt was enough to go out of your way. Don't let yourself feel sorry for yourself and say, oh, it's already too late. All these other people have had an extra year adjusting to this college. You already knew it when you wrote that transfer application. Don't feel sorry for yourself.
Don't forget why this transferred in the first place.
So I'd say make the most of it.
For WNUR News, I'm Nick Song.
You can listen to the full special broadcast on our website, WNUR.news. In the headlines today, Northwestern's women's basketball team will open their run for the Big Ten Championship tomorrow, playing against the Minnesota Golden Gophers in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Wildcats are ranked 7th in the tournament after finishing the regular season with an 8-8 record in conference play. On-air coverage will be provided by WNUR Sports starting at 5:15 p.m. Go Cats! Former Speaker of the Illinois House Mike Madigan was indicted on federal racketeering charges Wednesday afternoon. The massive federal investigation prompted Madigan to leave public office in February 2021 and now leaves him accused of leading a criminal enterprise and colluding with energy company ComEd. President Joe Biden delivered his first State of the Union address Tuesday night at the U.S. Capitol. Biden focused on responding to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, combating high inflation, immigration policy, and a new approach to the COVID-19 pandemic. The first major Ukrainian city fell to the Russian army since Russia began their invasion a week ago. Kherson, a southern city of 300,000 people, is key because its location will allow Russia to take further control of Ukraine's southern coastline and push towards the city of Odessa. Taking a look now at the weather, tonight will be overcast with temperatures dipping to 28 degrees and wind speeds reaching 15 miles per hour, and you'd better believe there's a small craft advisory tonight. Tomorrow we'll see a brief relapse into winter with a high of 31 and a low of 28. The sun will peek out from partly cloudy skies and winds will stay around 12 miles per hour. And heading into the weekend, we'll get back to the early spring feel with a high of 41 and a low of 38 on Friday, and a high of 62 and a low of 45 on Saturday. Be sure to enjoy this pleasant weather as we head into reading week. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on our Twitter at WNUR News and on our Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other stories of the day on our Spotify, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You can also find us on our website, WNUR.news. Our reporters for today are Margo Milanowski, Allison Rauch, Izzy Pareja, and Nick Song. Our producer today is Zach McCrary. From all of us here at WNUR News, I'm Alex Harrison. Catch our final news break of the quarter on Friday, March 4th at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. Now, back to scheduled programming.